had a lot of special effects and a lot of demos, but turns out I won't be able to make them, so I'll try to entertain you nevertheless. I will speak about connecting Plasma to service-oriented computing with the Jolie language. So, a summary of what we are going to see during this presentation. We are going to see what service-oriented computing is and the benefits that it can bring to the desktop, and what we can do with the current existing technologies, and how we can use the Jolie and Plasma projects in order to get a transparent and service-oriented desktop. So service-oriented computing is an emerging paradigm for dealing with distributed applications. The base component of it is a service, which is a software application that offers functionalities to other applications by means of a public interface. For example, the web services technology and the D-bus technologies are examples of service-oriented technology implementations. So service composition is a very important feature of service-oriented computing. It allows a programmer to obtain a new service by exploiting existing ones. So it can be obtained by means of an orchestrator application. An orchestrator uses existing services in order to gather new functionalities. So in this example, we have a client which would really like to use credit card services in order to purchase something from its preferred music store service or its computer store service. So in order to do that, we just put into the service-oriented architecture an e-commerce orchestrator, which would invoke the other services and do what the client wants. What's the current state of service-oriented computing and the desktop? Well, we already have service-oriented technologies in the desktops, like D-bus and D-cop. And the problem is that when you have to get to external service-oriented architectures, like in the internet, REST services, web services, desktop applications have to implement ad hoc mechanisms. So you get to communicate with an application, but once you've implemented that mechanism, you are just talking with that application. You haven't a general solution. Other problems are that different service-oriented architectures cannot speak to each other because they have different data protocols or different transport mechanisms. So, for example, a web service can't talk to a REST-based service or to a D-bus service because they speak different languages. What is our objective exactly? Well, a service-oriented desktop. We want to gain it, and that would be a desktop that would be able to offer its functionalities to other SOAs or to exploit the functionalities of existing service-oriented architectures. So we want to be able to reuse as many existing services as possible, regardless of their implementation technology, because we don't want to just be able to communicate with, for example, web services. We want to be able to communicate with a lot of service-oriented technologies. Moreover, we want a flexible experience. Different users have different needs. And once we've got all of this service-oriented power, the user will be able to access services on the internet, and they should really be able to compose their service user interface on their desktops. A few concept examples of how we could use a service-oriented desktop. So we've got an example about John, which goes to the Academy conference. So first of all, John is an organizer. He needs to organize his travel. So he just inserts Mechelen in his user interface and passes a button, and then a service orchestrator under the hood composes banks, travels, and hotel services in order to prepare his travel. Then John is a tourist. John is now in Mechelen, and so the first thing that he wants is some beer, of course. So he just takes up his internet tablet and asks for, please, I'm in Mechelen. Okay, the service orchestrator in the tablet finds out that John is in Mechelen and downloads the Mechelen desktop. A desktop populated with widgets that are connected automatically to services that are available in Mechelen, so that John could ask for example, beer, and a map pointing to the nearest pub appears. Then John is finally a presenter. John is making his presentation, and now it would be really nice if attendees could connect to John's presentation and follow it in their computers. What are the challenges that we have to face and to overcome in order to get a real service-oriented desktop? Well, for the service-oriented technologies, we have two challenges. The first is to provide an easy programming environment to create powerful orchestrators, because once we have access to a lot of services, we need an easy programming language in order to make smart applications that use them. Then we need data protocol and transport mechanism independency, because as I've said earlier, we want to use as many existing service technologies as possible. Then we've got challenges for a desktop UI framework. We need it to separate data from presentation, because when you are in a service-oriented architecture, you never know where your data comes from. So you need to separate that element from the presentational framework. Then we need flexibility, because we need the users to be able to compose their personal user interface to the services that they need. So fortunately, the right technologies for doing the job are already here. We will see now how the Jolie and Plasma projects solve the SOA challenges and the desktop challenges. But that will leave us with another question. How do we make them cooperate? How do we make them talk to each other in order to get our service-oriented desktop? So the Jolie program, the Jolie language is a service-oriented programming language. So it's based on a new paradigm. It's not the object-oriented paradigm. It's not the imperative paradigm. It's a new paradigm for programming applications. It's open source, it's lightweight and cross-platform, and it comes from an academic research. Indeed, Jolie is based upon a formal theoretical framework, which is named SOC. And the fact that Jolie follows strictly the semantics of SOC means that you are allowed to make formal reasoning about Jolie programs. So every mathematical property that you can demonstrate, that you can prove on SOC, stands also for Jolie. And that's a very powerful thing. So for example, a useful ongoing research is about making a checker for saying, OK, this program, this distributed service-oriented architecture, will cause a deadlock or not. You'll actually be able to say that. So the first challenge was to provide an easy programming environment to make orchestrators. Well, Jolie does that. And in order to do that, we need to address five basic issues. That is about communications, data handling, workflow composition, multi-party session handling, and fault and compensation handling. Jolie supports all of these features, but for time reasons, we are going to look at a summary of the first three. So how does Jolie handle communications? Well, communications are native statements, and they are based on operation names. An operation is for services, or what methods are for the object, for the object-oriented paradigm. So we've got four operation types: the one-way operation, which just waits for a message; the request-response one, which just receives a message, executes something, and then sends a response back. And then we've got the notification and solicit response types, which are the counterparts for the first two types. So and this is actual Jolie code. So this is an example of how we communicate in Jolie. In the first piece, we are waiting for a message for the one-way operation set name. On the second code block, we receive a message for the sum request response operation. We calculate the total and we send it back to the client. In the third block, we call the get time operation of the clock service, and we receive a response and we store it in the time variable. And in the last code block, we just send a message for the log operation of the logger service. So we need also easy access and manipulation of structured data, because services, especially web services, which are based upon XML, handle a lot of structures, especially tree structures. So in Jolie you can create, as you can see in the lower left corner, you can create as there's an array with two elements, which is called person, and each person has two sub-elements, which are gender and name. And the neat thing here is that protocols, Jolie protocols, ensure that the structures are translated to the appropriate representation when you are making a communication with another service. So for example, if you are communicating with a SOAP-based service, a web service, then the SOAP protocol converts that structure into an XML structure automatically, and you don't need to care about it. So workflow composition is very important. You are probably used just to the sequence operator, which just makes a sequence, execute the thing on the left, and then when it's finished, execute the thing on the right. And we use the semicolon operator just like in the other classic languages. Then we've got that you can use the parallel operator. So in this example, we are using the pipe operator to say, okay, execute the thing on the left in parallel to the thing on the right. So we are speaking about concurrent execution here in just one line of code. Then we've got the non-deterministic choice, which acts similarly to a switch block. We are putting on arrays about the erase operation and the timeout operation. And the message that we receive first activates its code block. So the second challenge was to provide data protocol and transport mechanism independency. Well, Jolie does that by separating the from the underlying communication details. So our problem logic is in the main procedure, in which we are saying send a message to the logger service for the log operation. Logic, you don't need to know how you are communicating with the logger service. You are just saying, okay, there exists a logger service. I don't want to know how I'm communicating with it. I just want to send it a message. But of course, you need to put the communication details somewhere in the Jolie program. So Jolie has a preamble to your program in which you can define the communication details for the services that you are communicating with. So in this example, we are defining the logger service and we are saying that it's located at that URI, and we are saying that in order to communicate with it, you need to use a TCP/IP socket. Then we are saying that to communicate with it, you need to encode and decode your data by using the SODA protocol, which is a binary protocol. And then we are describing the operations that are offered by the logger service. The nice thing here is that you could just change the protocol or change the location, like I want to communicate with the logger service, but it doesn't use the SODA protocol anymore. Now it uses SOAP. Okay, so you just write SOAP, hi there. You can configure the communication details about communicating with the service even in a dynamic way, that is at runtime. So in this example, we are defining the logger service in the preamble at the top, but we don't know how to communicate with it. We don't know the protocol it uses, we don't know where it is located. About the registry service. So in our main procedure, we are using it and we are calling the get location for service operation of the registry service, and we are practically asking him, please tell me what is the location of the logger service, and we store it in our Jolie communication configuration. And then we ask for the protocol. Okay, so now we can communicate with the logger service as we were doing before, because now we have all of the communication details that we need. So, what is Plasma? I'm sure we are pretty familiar with it, of course. It is a flexible user interface for your desktop, and it's open source and cross-platform, as Jolie is. So I'm gonna be pretty brief here, as you already know Plasma, but just the important things. Plasma separates data from presentation. Well, we can say yes, because it provides a separated component for data, that would be the data engine class, and presentation, that would be the applet class. So you can use, for example, a time data engine to provide time data to a presentational applet, that would be the clock SVG representation. So data engine can even be shared among multiple applets. That is good. That is good for resource consumption. And a single applet can use multiple data engines. The second challenge for the desktop user interface framework was to provide flexibility about the organization of the UI components. Well, Plasma does that because it allows you to place any number of applets wherever you want, to scale applets, to rotate them, to group them in different activities, and to zoom semantically over your desktop, making it easy to orientate even in a real populated set of activities. So for example, this is an example about placing, scaling, and rotating. And this is a zoomed out view about four activities, and you can see them all. So, yeah, I can't really make the demos now. I was going to show them, but the thing is that we can already do something even without making a Plasma and Jolie communicating between each other. So the first thing that we could do, and we actually did it, but I can't demo it, is ECOS. ECOS offers a web interface for controlling a media player. For example, we are using Amarok right now. And the neat thing here is that you can open multiple web interfaces, and they are all automatically synchronized when you change something without needing to refresh the page ever. They are also synchronized when you change something in the Amarok interface. That would be nice, but not. So the second example is Vision. Anyway, if you're interested in actually seeing the examples working, you can come after me and I will showcase them to you after the presentation. So the second example is Vision, which is an SOA for distributed presentation, in which we have a presenter, P, which gives a presentation. And then we have a lot of clients that want to follow that presentation in their local viewer. The resulting network is a peer-to-peer one. So for example, if I'm giving a presentation in this laptop and this other laptop wants to follow that presentation, then even another laptop could connect to this client laptop and ask him, hey, what are you viewing right now? Oh, I'm viewing that presentation from the other laptop. Okay, I want to see it too. And so every client is also a server. So this is how it currently works. We've got two services for each computer, the presenter service, which handles the communication with other computers. And then we've got the viewer service, which handles the viewer abstraction. We currently support Ocular, KeyPDF, and the previewer Plasmoid, and you don't need to care about them. Vision is completely independent of the underlying viewer. So the last question was, how can we make Plasma and Jolie cooperate? Because Jolie solves all of our service-oriented problems, and Plasma solves all of our user interface-related problems. So let's make them talk to each other. Global problem, that is to get a service-oriented desktop. So we introduce a new abstraction layer in Plasma, which is Plasma Service. So an applet doesn't connect to a data engine anymore. Well, it can still use that, but if it wants to use a service, it connects to a Plasma service, which in turn will connect to something else. But the applet just cares about Plasma service. So Plasma service uses what we call Meta service. Meta service is a single Jolie service that gives you access to entire and various service oriented architectures. So Plasma service asks Meta service to resolve the applet request. So for example, the applet would like to, The applet would like to have some search over the internet, so it would just ask Plasma Service to do that, and Plasma Service would just ask Meta Service to do that. Then Meta Service would answer back to Plasma Service, and then in turn to the applet. So we've got various features in Meta Service, like you can communicate seamlessly with existing services, let them be local or remote, it doesn't make any difference, you can do that. You can deploy Jolie services into your computer, as many as you like, all of them in the same TCP/IP communication endpoint, so you just need one network port for doing all of that, and make them accessible by other computers. And then you can deploy Plasma data handlers as services automatically. Plasma service allows Plasmoids to make use of all of these features without having the programmer to worry about them. So the programmer literally doesn't see Meta Service, you just use Plasma Service API and everything goes well. For example, if we would want to revisit Vision in TIR's new architecture, well, the applet would just ask Plasma Service for, please get me the viewer of another computer. Okay, so Plasma Service would ask Meta Service, hey, have you got a service for doing that? Yes, I have, and I am actually connected to another computer. So the other computer receives that message on Meta Service, which in turn would connect to Plasma Service in order to notify it. So what are our conclusions? Well, the new architecture enables the seamless integration of UI components with services. You've got easy service access with the Plasma Service API, and you don't need to meddle with communication details, like you don't need to implement the SOAP protocol or another protocol. The protocols are all implemented in Jolie, and you don't need to think about that. And you've got easy service writing by using the Jolie language, which is very high level and permits you to make even very complicated workflows in a few lines of code. You've got new possibilities for making applications that exploit these new possibilities, which is that for service-oriented desktop. And we've got, for the first time, this is completely new, we've got service-oriented computing that is not anymore a complete research or highly in the owner enterprise thing, but we are bringing it to every desktop user and programmer. So this is a very nice result. Okay, all of this is coming for KDE 4.2, so be sure to update your packages. Okay, do I act? I've got 5 minutes. Well, that's because I didn't make any demo. Okay, so if I've got 5 minutes, so shoot me with questions.